Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing one of the most satisfying jungle sound design moves, turning everyday, metallic recordings into FX hits that cut through a break at 170 plus BPM. Think keys, pipes, pot lids, railings, toolboxes, bike chains. All that junk drawer percussion is basically a jungle FX sample pack waiting to happen. The goal is to build a small, usable palette, tight impacts, laser zaps, reverse swells into a hit, and a couple of airy texture tails. And we're doing it with stock Ableton devices, fast, in a very drum and bass workflow. Sample, shape the transient, pitch and warp with intent, resample, add distortion, control space, then arrange it like it actually belongs in a rolling track. Before we touch live, a quick coaching note that will save you time. Record clean, even if you want grime later. Keep your peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. Give yourself headroom. And if you're recording with a mic, try pointing it slightly off-axis from the metal so the initial spike doesn't turn into brittle, painful high-end. Clean capture equals easier shaping. Alright, open Ableton Live. Step 1. Record or source your metallic sound. Create an audio track, set your input, and record 10 to 30 seconds of variety. Don't just do one type of hit. Get a couple of short impacts, a longer scrape, a rattly jangle, a ring out. The point is to give yourself options when you're hunting for transients later. Optional quick cleanup. Drop an EQ8 on the recording track. High pass around 80 to 150 Hz to get rid of rumble and handling noise. If it's already stabbing your ears, do a gentle dip somewhere around 3 to 6K with a medium Q. Don't overfix it right now. Jungle likes texture. We'll control it later. Step 2. Find the best transient and make a clean one shot. Double click the recording to open the clip. Turn warp off at first. That keeps the audio natural while you choose the moment. Now zoom in and hunt for a sharp event, a tick, a clang, a snap, something with a clear start. Set your loop brace around just that moment, leaving a little tail, then consolidate. Command or Control J. That creates a new clip that's basically your raw one shot. Add tiny fades at the start and end so you don't get clicks. This is one of those boring steps that makes your rack feel pro instantly. And here's the pro move. Don't stop at one. Make 5 to 10 consolidated clips from different moments in the same recording. One clean hit, one scrape, one ring, one cluster of jangly stuff. You're building a palette, not a single sound. Step 3. Turn it into a playable instrument using Simpler. Drag one of those consolidated clips into Simpler. Set Simpler to one-shot mode. Set it to trigger, not gate, so it plays consistently even if your MIDI notes are short. Now let's shape the envelope for jungle-friendly behavior. You generally want fast and controlled. Set the volume envelope attack basically at 0, maybe up to 1 millisecond, if it's clicky. Set decay somewhere like 80 to 250 milliseconds depending on how stabby you want it. Sustain down to minus infinity to keep it from hanging around. And give it a small release, maybe 20 to 80 milliseconds, just enough to feel finished and not chopped. Teacher tip, clip length is groove. In jungle, a hit that feels big is often actually short. The event ends quickly, and the sense of size comes from a controlled tail, gated reverb, side-chained reverb, or a separate texture layer. So don't be afraid to keep the actual one shot tight. Next, use the filter to focus the tone. Enable the filter, choose MS2 or OSR for a bit of character, and low pass somewhere between 6 and 12K if it's too fizzy. Add a touch of resonance, like 5 to 15%, to emphasize a metallic note without turning it into a whistle. Step 4. Pitch it into jungle territory. This is the secret sauce. Metal is full of weird partials. Pitching makes it feel intentional and FX-like. Start with transpose and Simpler. Try minus 12 or minus 24 semitones for a heavy clunk. Then try plus 7 or plus 12 for sharp ping and laser territory. Now the big one. Pitch envelope. Turn on pitch envelope and set the amount somewhere between plus 12 and plus 36 semitones, and the decay around 30 to 120 milliseconds. That creates the classic zap. That downward pew or ZZZT pitch dive that screams jungle. If you want it to behave more like a musical element, throw a tuner after Simpler. Hit a MIDI note, see roughly where it lands, and transpose until it's near something in your key. It doesn't have to be perfect, but close often makes the whole track feel more coherent. Step 5. Transient and body control with drum bus and saturator. Put drum bus after Simpler. Add some drive, maybe 5 to 20%. Push transients up, like plus 10 to plus 40, until the hit speaks clearly. Be cautious with boom, because metallic sources can do strange stuff in the sub. Keep it low, 0 to 20%, and only if you really need weight, use damp to tame harshness. If you feel the top end is starting to sandpaper your ears, damp is your friend. Then add saturator after drum bus. Use analog clip mode. Drive 2 to 8 dB and turn soft clip on. This thickens the mid-range and helps the hit stay audible at low monitoring levels. And that's a big drum and bass mindset check. Keep your monitor volume low for a moment. If your hit disappears, it needs more mid presence, usually somewhere in the 1 to 4K zone. If it hurts, it's often a narrow resonance in the 3 to 8K range. Don't just turn it down. Find the ring and control it. Quick technique for that. In EQ8, use a narrow bell. Boost it by about 6 dB, sweep until the annoying ring jumps out, then flip that boost into a cut, maybe minus 3 to minus 8 dB. That's resonance hunting, and it's basically mandatory for metal recordings. Step 6. Big jungle space without washing out. Add hybrid reverb after your distortion, or put it on a return if you prefer more mix control. For now, let's do it in the chain so you can hear the effect clearly. Choose hall or plate. Set decay around 1.8 to 4.5 seconds. Add pre-delay around 15 to 40 milliseconds so the transient stays punchy before the space blooms. High cut the reverb around 6 to 10k and low cut around 200 to 500 Hz so you don't smear the low mids and step on the snare and bass. Now the classic trick, take the reverb. Put a gate after hybrid reverb. Bring the threshold up until the tail cuts off in a musical way. Keep return very fast. Hold around 30 to 120 milliseconds and release around 80 to 250 milliseconds. What you're listening for is that classic gated jungle hit vibe, huge for a moment, then it gets out of the way. Big without messy. Alternate movement trick, instead of gate, try auto pan after the reverb with phase at 0 degrees and a rate around 1/8 to 1 quarter. That gives you motion in the tail without turning the transient into a wobble. Step 7. Make variations. Reverse, resample, and layer. First variation. Reverse swell into hit. Duplicate your clip. Or better, resample your processed hit so you're working with the character baked in. Reverse the audio, add a fade in so it rises smoothly and give it a longer reverb. Place it one bar before a drop, then put the forward hit right on the downbeat. That is pure jungle punctuation. Second variation, resample to print the character. Create a new audio track, set input to resampling, arm it, and record yourself triggering the one shot while you tweak transpose, pitch envelope, gate timing, reverb amount. Record a bunch. You're basically doing sound design performance. Then chop the best moments into new one-shots. This is how you get ready to drag effects that won't change later when you bump a macro. Third variation. Layering, optional but very DNB. Layer 1 is your metallic transient, living mostly in the mids and highs. High pass it around 200 to 500 Hz. Layer 2 is a short sub-thunk. Use operator with a sine wave around 50 to 80 Hz, decay maybe 80 to 150 milliseconds. Keep it short so it doesn't become a bass note. Group them. Use EQ8 to keep the sub clean below 120 and keep the metal mostly above 200 to 400. If you want extra weight without losing snap, try delaying the sub layer by 2 to 8 milliseconds behind the metal transient. It can feel bigger without getting flabby. Also, keep the low layer mono. Utility width to 0 on the sub. That avoids phase weirdness. Step 8. Build the drum rack effects bank and macros. Create a drum rack and drop 8 to 16 rendered hits into pads, impacts, saps, reverses, tails. Then map macros for speed. Go to macro set. Transpose, pitch envelope amount, reverb amount or mix, gate release for tail length, drum bus transients, saturator drive, filter cutoff, and a utility gain for level matching. That last one is underrated. Output trim is safety. If you're cranking distortion and resonance, you need one macro that stops you from accidentally making everything 10 dB louder and thinking it sounds better. Extra coach workflow. Audition in context early. Don't spend 20 minutes perfecting one hit soloed. Drop it into a loop with a break at 170 to 175 BPM. Check three things. Does it read on phone speakers? Does it hurt? And does it sit in the groove? Timing matters more than people admit. Sometimes effects feel best a few milliseconds late for weight, or slightly early for snap. Nudge it and listen. Now, placement ideas so it actually sounds like rolling DNB. Put tiny zaps on the offbeats, in the gaps between kick and snare. Use one bigger signature hit every 8 or 16 bars. Use reverse swells into bar 16 or 32, right at phrase changes. And sprinkle micro hits in 16th notes with velocity variation for that old school chatter, but keep it intentional. Think call and response with the break, snare hits, then the FX answers on the E or the right after. Let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid the usual pain. First, too much top-end metal lives in the danger zone, 4 to 10K. If it's harsh, it's not energetic, it's just not controlled yet. Use EQ and resonance hunting. Second, no transient control. If you don't shape it with the envelope and drum bus, it will feel like random noise, not a designed hit. Third, reverb flooding the mix. Long tails without gating or filtering will smear your brakes and step on your bass movement. Big space is fine. Uncontrolled space is not. Fourth, over distortion. It's easy to turn metal into fizzy mush. A good rule, print a few versions and a slash B at low volume. If it only sounds cool when it's loud, it's probably not sitting right. Fifth, ignoring timing. FX hits are part of the groove, not decoration on top. Now a couple heavier, darker pro tips. If you want gritty jungle edge, use Redux subtly. Downsample a bit, like 2 to 8, and bit depth around 10 to 14. Just enough to rough it up. If you want to keep your center clean for snare and bass, do some mid slash side EQ. Cut a bit of 3 to 8K from the mid if it fights the snare crack, and leave a little more air in the sides. If you're using reverb on a return, sidechain that reverb tail from the snare. Compressor after the reverb, ratio 4 to 1, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release 120 to 250, and aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. The reverb breathes with the groove and stays out of the way. And for a techie, unsettling shimmer, add frequency shifter after the reverb. Very subtle, fine around 10 to 60 Hz, dry slash wet 5 to 15%. It adds movement without sounding like a cheesy flange. Mini practice exercise, about 15 to 20 minutes. Record 3 metallic sources, like keys, pot lid, and a railing scrape. This audio version is shortened for playback.